Welcome to Gaming and Gabbing, where video and tabletop gamers unite.
A podcast where we level up with you on our journey to ultimate nerddom. I'm your Wizard of Weird, Dayan Hutton.
And I'm your Rogue of Realness, Amber Plaster.
And let's hit start.
Hey guys, welcome back to Gaming and Gabbing. Today my guest is the effervescent and magical Hannah Tell.
Hello, thank you so much for having me, Day.
Thanks for being here. So for those of you that don't know, Hannah is the voice of Max Caulfield in Life is Strange, also a brilliant musician, and she is a med school, right? Med school student?
No, I'm an undergrad neuroscience student.
That doesn't sound any easier to me.
I'm trying to get my BS in neuroscience.
Okay.
But I have 2.5 years left.
Before I get into that, because I definitely want to get into that.
It's pretty crazy.
Interesting, fascinating combination of things to, like, have on your list of, like, this is what I do with my life. And before we get into Life is Strange, I want to talk about your new album. Because that's the newest thing. It came out on your birthday. We're hyped about it. We love it. We want you to love it. So tell me about it.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad everybody likes it. I'm just so glad everyone's been so supportive of it. It is a little different from my first album. And I did want to explore a deeper, more fuller sound where I have more control over all the noise that's happening. I just wanted to explore like a really distinct mood and feeling, and I worked with someone different this time who was super open to me like transforming it into a heavy mood. And so it worked really well, and we're already getting started on a third album.
Oh wow, that's awesome! Just No resting.
I gotta keep going because I just have like, sometimes I don't have anything to write about, but sometimes I do, and right now I do. So I just want to keep going.
Yeah, that's awesome. I listened to the album. I've only listened to it once, so I don't have a favorite song yet. But I really love the vibe of it is very, like, modern, like, hippie, like, trancey, but, like, calm. It's, like, such a really cool combination of things. And the best part is I've obviously seen the album art you've released. I'm obsessed with the photos. And the second I started listening to the album, I was like, oh, this is, like, those pictures turned into music. Like, it went so well, and I totally understood why you did that.
Oh, thank you. I was really hoping to set, like, a vibe.
You certainly set a vibe.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. It is pretty hippie. I hope it's okay. Like, I just feel I'm in a place where I'm feeling a lot of wonder and happiness about the world, but also, like, contemplating how sad and crazy it is, and I just want to write music that sort of feels like all of those emotions.
Yeah, I would definitely, wonder's great, like I would definitely say there's wonder. All of the songs, they're different, but they all have this like lulling quality that's just calming, which I really liked.
Thank you, I'm so glad. That's what I was hoping for. I want to make something that's nice to just have playing while you're driving or while you're cleaning or just chilling at home with your cat or something, like, you know, just relaxing music.
So what are some of your like music inspirations then that gotten you to this sound?
Well, it all started for me when I was young, when I was like probably 11 to 13, listening to Genesis with my dad and The Who. And I got really into classic rock and the Beatles, later Beatles, and then into Elliott Smith. And then I got really into The War on Drugs. And their most recent album, A Deeper Understanding, like, blew my mind. I never heard such emotional guitar work. So I really wanted my album to celebrate the guitar, the electric guitar, and it's how it can be shaped with pedals and effects and how it can, like, really shape a sound. So I wanted it to be very guitar heavy, and I wanted it to just take people on a journey, and I had a lot of crazy emotions because I was kind of having to, I had to go through the emotion of telling my agent, you know, I can't audition anymore. Like, don't send me any more auditions. I can't. I'm doing this full time. And it broke my heart to do that. Like, I spent my whole life trying to get that agent. Mm-hmm. How could I say, like, I'm done? But I'm not done. I'm just trying to get an undergrad degree so I can get a job so that I can support myself and then do this on the side. But it's just too hard to make. Well, for me, it was just too hard to make a living. Like,
yeah, I mean, you're referring to acting, which I also know it is very difficult, and that makes sense why your album's titled "Walking Away from the Dream," because mm-hmm. you're talking about these emotions of, at least for now, walking away from it mm-hmm. When it's, like you said, been what you've wanted your whole life.
My whole life.
Yeah.
It feels crazy. It feels better now. I feel better about it now. I know that it's not forever and that I can always have it. But I know that working as an actor or working as a musician, it takes a toll on me in a way that sucks the joy out of it. So I think I need to do something else and then do that on the side as a hobby.
Sure.
Yeah. And that'll help me to have a little bit more of a stable, hopefully, situation.
Yeah, it's very demanding to be constantly putting yourself out there, making yourself vulnerable, you know, never hearing back, and it's not steady. It's mm-hmm. it's a very, very hard business to deal with. I think it's really smart and admirable that you're taking this break and this time to gain skills to have a steady job, but with the idea that, and then I will continue to do this.
Thank you. I hope it works. I hope I can get through it. It's a little, honestly, it's a little too hard for me, but I'm trying to hang in there, and I you know, somebody has to get B's. So somebody has to be there to get that B.
And a B is not.
That's going to be me. Hopefully, if I can get a B in organic chemistry, oh my gosh. The best thing about it is that I'm minoring in songwriting.
Oh, so that's lovely.
I get to keep working on music, so that's fun.
What is the job you're looking to get with a degree in neuroscience?
I think I would like to work in a research lab.
Okay.
And participate in brain research, whether that's like experimenting with music on the brain or...
Oh, that would be awesome.
Testing certain drugs on the brain or working in mental health, like discovering more about what is the structure of a brain that is bipolar.
Sure.
Or has depression, and can you see it in the brain through an MRI, and how can we discover more about how to treat this in a more effective way or something? I don't know. Sometimes when I'm in class, the stuff that they're saying brings tears to my eyes. It's like moves me on an emotional level, hearing about how the body and the brain work. And it's just, I feel like that means something. So I kind of want to try to follow it.
I think that's amazing. I think that's an incredibly cool goal to have with all of this. We're all behind you, rooting for you, because that would be really awesome if you were doing stuff like that.
Thank you. I hope I can make it happen.
I was wondering also, because there's a lot of different instruments in the new album, and I just wanted to know, like, how many instruments do you play?
Well, this album was really special for me. The first album, all I did was do vocals, sing, and, well, in terms of like when we were recording, I just sang and played the flute. I was totally unable to play guitar well enough to keep up and be in time and play in rhythm. I really just used the guitar to write my song, and then that was it. And then
got it.
I didn't practice much. But this time I was working with someone else, and he was like, "Listen, you're going to play guitar on this album." I'm like, "No, listen, I'm not good. And I want the album to sound good. So you're going to play guitar.
So no, you're going to do this, not me.
No, you're going to do it. No, he says, no, you're going to do it. And so he sat there with me and worked with me until I could do it.
That's awesome.
And now I can track guitar. And it's the best thing ever.
That's so cool.
So I'm able to make my own demos. And it's just really fun. I got a lot better. And I play acoustic rhythm guitar on all the tracks, and I play electric rhythm guitar on most of the tracks, and then lead electric guitar on With You. There's like a lead solo at the end that I play. It's my first time ever playing a lead solo.
That's so cool.
I never would have done, but he forced me to do it.
Sometimes we need those people in our lives.
He's been like really awesome for me. He's a really incredible producer. His name's Riley Gear, and we're going to work together again, and I'm excited about it. But I also play flute. I started playing flute when I was in middle school. Then I put it away, and then I picked it back up again and took a class in flute last semester. I was like, I want to play the flute again because it's so cool and jazzy and dreamy. So there's flute on one song and like a crazy flute solo. It was my first time ever like really going nuts on the flute and improvising. And this time I wrote everything on the album myself. The first album were mostly my songs. Then there were like maybe two or three songs where I had written half of a song and then brought it to my producer and was like, can you help me finish this? And then he would help me finish the music, and I would write all the vocal melodies and lyrics. And then one song on my first album was actually written by my producer.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, he gave me that song to use for my album. So this time it was all me. And so I was a little bit like scared for people to hear it, because it is a little different, because it's just me.
Yeah.
And it's also with a different person playing drums and bass and lead electric. So it's been exciting to do something that's just fully exposed.
I love that. And how long did the whole process take from once you were decided that you were gonna make a new album?
So I really started getting serious in 2018. I like needed guidance, so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go to community college and take a whole bunch of music classes and see if I can, you know, get inspired and write a second album.
Up until then, were you self-taught or had you had classes?
I was largely self-taught. I had a couple lessons when I was 16, and then I had a couple lessons when I was like 22, and I had a boyfriend that showed me some chords here and there. Boyfriends would show me chords.
Useful boyfriends.
They were useful. My boyfriends did shape me musically a lot.
When did you sit down and find your producer to start the album?
Oh, okay, so I started out in 2018 going back to school, taking music lessons, took a songwriting class, started making my own demos. And this was like, I sort of started doing that before, but it's just using GarageBand, really simple stuff. But like, I started experimenting with a MIDI keyboard and using that to like create background sounds into my track, so that when I took my track to a producer, I had a more cohesive vision.
So yeah, you're like, here's the sound I'm looking for.
Yes,
yeah.
This is the mood I want. I want you to help me recreate this mood and heighten it with your skills as a musician that I don't have.
Yeah.
Because I'm more of like a melody writer. So that summer I decided I was going to go back to USC. I needed a new producer, and it turned out to be like a really great match. And we started working on the album in like August of 2018, and we finished this past summer around August.
So about a year from that point.
Mm-hmm, about a year, but a lot of that time I was in school. So for fall and spring semester, I was in school and I was taking songwriting classes and writing the album.
Okay. I wanted to just get to know your background a little bit more. I know you're from the South. You're from South Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Close, but I live really close to the border of South Carolina. So
okay.
It's okay.
So you're from North Carolina.
Yes.
And you moved out here when you were younger, right?
Yes. I left home when I was 16.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To start pursuing acting. So I moved home, like, to move 6 hours away to this school that had a better acting program. And then I moved again for my senior year to an arts boarding school. And then at 18, I was like, bye, I'm out. Came to LA, never having seen it before, visited, and went to USC and had like a very rough stop start, difficult few years, like trying to be a student at USC, and then ended up dropping out. I was studying acting and filmmaking.
And then, so your family, do you have siblings? I don't think.
Yes, I have one younger brother.
Okay.
His name is Lewis.
Were you kind of like the first person in your family to leave home? And
yes.
Like, bye, everybody.
And it was very shocking for my mother, and it still is very hard for my family.
Of course. Parents never like you being too far away.
Yes, but now it's nice. I have my own place, so my parents and my brother come out to visit me a lot more.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. We sort of talked about you were working towards acting your whole life. And
yes.
Did you always know you wanted to be an actor?
Yes.
Okay.
It was always very certain in my mind from a young age. I'd say it started about age 7 when I did my first play. I didn't realize it right away. At first I wanted to be a psychiatrist. Now I'm kind of reverting back
yeah.
to that. But
what was the first play?
I think it was Godspell. I think I was in the chorus.
Okay, yep.
And I think I had like, I was like a narrator. I had maybe like 4 lines.
Okay.
I did a play and then I wanted to do another one. And then I almost got a lead role.
Mm.
I was too young. I wanted to play Becky Thatcher and Tom Sawyer.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, game over. I gotta do this all the time. And so my family would have to drive me like hours away to like do these rehearsals and to be in plays. And I just did it nonstop. I was just really frustrated as a child a lot because I really wanted to work as a professional as a child.
Mm.
And it really upset me that I wasn't able to live in a place where that was more accessible or possible. I didn't understand why my parents didn't back me. They didn't see this as a financial advantage for the family. I was like, you don't understand. I'm missing out on my career. So I just was very awkward in my own skin and wasn't able to, like, I was extremely modest, like had zero ability to like be in touch with anything sexual about myself.
Like, I mean, same though.
I'm
still there. I'm like,
still to this
you
day.
Want me to be sexy?
I was like, like, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to stop acting is because, like, in order for me to play sexy, I'm gonna need a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go down that path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, but in order for me to act like that and not be in private and to do that in front of people, that's private.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just, I don't know.
I mean, I know there's a lot of the roles out there, unfortunately, require that kind of stuff, but not all of it. So it's just about, like you're doing, being pickier about it and having your no lines, and it'll be great.
I know, but when you're doing it, you're just so desperate for a job. It's like, how can I say no? Like, I want to be like Kate Winslet. Like, she does sex scenes nonstop. Like, I would like to, but I'm not like her. I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with it either. And awkward all the way. That's how I play it.
That initial nervousness that causes me to hold back, like, if I could just negate that, then there wouldn't be that. Then I could succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's weird because I take a different medication. Now I take Prozac in addition. Well, I just want to be like fully upfront. I'm bipolar. I take a medication that is for bipolar depression and it really works for me.
Good,
I also
great.
Have to take an antidepressant in addition to that to like, cause it's still not enough to get me to like not be depressed. So this is like my little cocktail that works and it's been working and now I have a lot of confidence. And it's a really cool, not
awesome.
A lot.
Well, but when you're used to not having it, any of it is amazing. Like, I totally understand that.
It was crazy. Like, I'm used to hating myself. Like, I'm used to, like, wanting to die. And so it was just so cool to, like, feel okay with myself. And now I feel like maybe I could act, or I feel like I could I do it now, or could I handle it now? And I don't know. So I don't want to close that door completely, but I do feel like I need a stable 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, it's all such mindset stuff and like getting your mind in the right place to be able to deal with these things, because it's true. Like, I mean, I deal with anxiety, which isn't anywhere near the same scale, but it still, it like stops you. It makes you constantly go on about yourself and like you can't stop. And I've recently, in like the past year or so, done a lot of my own work on thinking about like the acting business differently and changing the way I think about a lot of things. And it's just such a relief and it's so helpful. And I also like got on medication for my anxiety, and I've gone through some things where I'm like, oh, I would normally be breaking down and freaking out right now, but I am handling this.
Yeah.
And that's great. I love that. I didn't know I could do this. I just thought I couldn't handle life well. Find out in your late 20s, like, oh no, that's just anxiety, and you can take something for that. Cool.
Yeah, the brain is an organ, and it can need medication. I really believe that. Well, I can just see that I'm having a chance at a good life now. Before, I honestly didn't think that I was going to get to have a good life. I was like, I'm going to be depressed and, like, hating myself and struggling to get out of bed in the morning, like, forever, and this is it, and I just couldn't deal. But it's so much better now, and it's really great. And I just feel like a lot of times acting is so psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm studying the brain, I'm just thinking a lot more about like what exactly is it doing to the brain to be pretending to be another person for 12 hours a day.
Interesting.
What does that do? And like, how can we study that and figure out what exactly is happening to the brain when you're pretending to be someone else? Can you fool an MRI scanner by like saying lines as another person and conjuring up emotions as like a different person? You know,
that's fascinating. I would read the crap out of that medical journal research.
Right? Doesn't that sound interesting? I don't know. There's just so many things, but like acting's crazy what you're doing. Also the same with performing. Like I just want to get to a place where I can perform comfortably in front of people sober, which I have done in the past. It's just hard. And now that I'm on Prozac, I also can't drink at all.
Sure.
But that's why I don't have an alcohol problem anymore. So
there
that's
you go.
Great.
Fix that.
That's good. But yeah, it's been interesting.
Thank you so much for sharing that stuff with us. I'm really always pushing mental health awareness and advocacy. So thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that with us, because I mean, I just think the more people that talk about it, the more it normalizes and the more people will get help, because it won't seem like a bad thing. Like, oh, you're on meds. Like,
if they're not, they might benefit from it.
Yeah, it's just normalizing it will just help everyone. Like, let's all treat this like...
Like, it's like taking a Tylenol. Like, if you've got a headache, like, are you going to just sit there and suffer with it? Okay, sure, maybe, but I'm going to take a Tylenol because I have things I want to accomplish with my life, and this is stopping me,
mm-hmm,
and taking this is, like, creating a pathway for me to have a normal life.
Yeah, and I know I was at first very against going on meds because of that weird stigma it has of, like, but I don't want to need medication, but... That's so silly. Like you said, like, if your body's hurting, like, if your ankle's broken, you're gonna put a cast on it. You're not gonna be like, oh, but I don't want a cast. That's like, I look weak now. People will judge me. No, your ankle's broken. Like, you need a cast. No, your chemicals in your brain are out of whack. You can take something and readjust them. It's fine.
Yeah. It's also really cool, too. Like, if thinking about the chemicals in your brain,
how they work. Yeah, because you're studying this now, so...
I'm learning a little bit about it. It's so fascinating.
That's awesome. So, I want to go to... I kind of stayed away from Life is Strange questions because I figured most of the chat questions would be around that. You worked on a game before Life is Strange. What was that game again?
Murdered Soul Suspect. It was another Square Enix game.
Okay.
And it was like a detective thriller game where it was like also supernatural elements to it. And I played these two twin sisters who are murdered, and the one twin sister possesses the other and comes back, and she's in a mental institution.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, super intense. But I loved it. It's one of my favorite roles ever.
That's awesome. Dreamer Me asks, the game exploded in popularity with each subsequent episode release. Did the overwhelming fan response and reaction to the game surprise you?
Yes. Yes, I got into a point in my career where I thought like I was just going to be involved in really indie stuff, like stuff that no one's ever going to see, or if it even gets finished being made, because there's no money. So I just didn't think that that was in the cards for me. And when it seemed like the game was gaining success and, you know, people were starting to pay attention, it was the coolest feeling, but also the scariest feeling ever, because I was scared that people weren't going to like what I had done. Because there's so much of my voice and there's just so much of Max talking.
Sure. It's like all you, most of the game.
It's just like, she talks, you know, everything you click on there's some comment.
Inner dialogue and yeah.
And I just didn't know how that was going to be received. And so I was pretty scared. But it ended up being okay. It was awesome when that happened.
So that made me think, I wanted to know, how much recording did you do? Because I know I only went in one session per episode I was in. But I was in like 0.2% of it compared to you. So how many sessions overall were you in there for?
There was a lot. We would do like maybe... Well, I'm not sure what it's like for other voice actors for other projects, but for me we would do about 2 weeks of recording, a week and a half to 2 weeks of recording, and then we would have like a long break.
Were in there every day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we would go every day for 4 hours, because
mm-hmm.
that's like the limit or whatever.
Right, right.
And yeah, it was great. I loved getting to have a regular structured job like that. You know, that's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a job, acting on set was difficult for me because of the long hours.
Mm. And this is only, yeah.
And this short. Is only a short amount of time. So that was a lot better for me. Like, I just need a lot of sleep and like rest and quiet time. So like being on set was really intense.
Yeah, that makes sense. How much did being able to relate to your character Max help in your performance? Did you relate to her at all?
Yes, like completely. I totally related to her, except that I've never had powers, but I've always wanted powers. So it was...
Could you imagine if Hannah was just like, I totally related to her, I rewind time all the time. Like, it's really, it's a burden.
It's hard. Every time I do it, the weather just... I really related to her. I just, that was how I felt, like, especially with her in music, and how she would listen to music and kind of go through her day and go into this sort of trance with the soundtrack. That was me in high school, totally. And just feeling like the lack of assertion and making your voice heard and feeling like you want to help, but don't want to bother anybody, or you know, want to make a difference, but you feel like basket games.
How did it feel when you got the call that you were coming back for farewell episode, and did it give you any closure?
Yes. I was always like really hoping that I didn't think it would happen, because they were so adamant about it's not happening. It was super cool that they wanted Max to come back. I thought all those characters were so cool. Like,
yeah.
Where do all of them go next? Like, how do they develop into young 20-somethings? How do they navigate this?
Yeah, and I guess they're kind of doing that with the comic series now.
Oh, yeah, the comic series. I want to read that. I have them at home.
I have the first one, but I don't have any of the other ones. So I need to
borrow mine.
Speaking of the comics, this question's from someone who knows a lot about them, but the question isn't about them. Dog Party Guy asks, well, he loves the alternate Max near the end of episode 5.
He asked
if there's anything you can recall about the specific direction or tone you were told to use for that version of the character.
Why do you like that? That was so hard for me to do. I was crying. It was so hard for me to do.
Oh, you're so just pure.
I'm sorry, but it was really hard for me to do, and I hated doing that. And I just, like, I had to get really upset. Like, only people that I'm really close to, like, maybe my mom, someone I'm dating. Like, I've yelled like that at a roommate before. I just, like, don't like being that way. I don't like to get worked up like that. But, yeah, that was crazy. That was really hard for me to do, and I think it's cool that you liked it.
I mean, it's gotta be cool if you're with this character for this long journey, and then you get to see a different version. It's kind of neat in that way.
Yeah, I couldn't do it long term. Let's just say that.
Celespin asks, what is your favorite song off the new album?
Oh, wow. But also I should say he asked about like the direction and tone.
Oh, yes.
First, he was like, you need to make it as mean as possible. And it was too mean.
Oh, no.
And we had to go back and redo it again, make it a little less mean. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm secretly a monster. as I am. Everybody secretly has like anger.
Sure, of course.
And I had a lot of anger that I had never tapped into or confronted or dealt with. And like opening that box was scary.
Sure, that makes sense. So, favorite song off the new album?
Oh, I'd say it's probably Magic, the last song in the album, just because I wrote it really recently and it feels new and fresh to me, and it's like signaling a new era of me writing music that is really upbeat.
That's great. I think that's probably going to be my favorite song off the album. But that might just be my bias for liking magical things.
I'm going to make a music video for it, like a full-length music video for
awesome.
It.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Where can people get your album?
They can get it on Bandcamp, on iTunes, on Amazon, on all the major like music outlet places. That's just digital copies.
I found it on Spotify.
It's on Spotify. Just take a listen and see if it makes you feel better in any way.
Trying to make people feel better with your music. I love that. Z Danzy wants to know if you've played or seen anything about Life is Strange 2, and if so, what you think.
I haven't, but I really want to play it or watch something to do with it. You've played it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is it?
I really like it. It really divides people because it's obviously a completely different story, completely different subjects are being talked about. You're dealing with two brothers instead of two young females who are like basically almost dating. there's a lot of people that love the first one that are just not into the second one because they were there for the relationship of Max and Chloe, and that's obviously not here. But I think as a game and as a game that pushes like social issues, it's doing a very good job.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah, I like it.
I definitely want to check it out. I just don't have time to do anything.
Yeah, you're school bound right now. I get that. But if you weren't school bound, or when you're not, Alloy Chloe Price wants to know if you would ever go on a tour.
I really want to. I really want to play shows next summer. I really want to go on tour. I bought a car. Well, I didn't buy the car. My parents helped me get a car because mine was breaking down, and this car is bigger so I could take music equipment.
Awesome.
And I really would love to play some music at conventions and bring my producer with me. But anywhere around the world, it'll be awesome. I'd go anywhere. I'd love to do anything like that.
Sure. I'm the same way. People are asking me if I'm ever going to travel to their country or wherever they are. I'm like, I would love to.
I would love to.
Allie asks, assuming you're not already signed, do you want to be signed and by what label?
Oh, cool. This is a cool question. I would love to be signed. That would be so cool. There's so many labels that I admire so much. Gosh, like, oh, man. Captured Tracks, Mexican Summer, Secretly Canadian, Merge, anything. It's just hard for me because they want you to play shows and it would take a lot for me to play a show and to get up in front of people and like lead a band playing my music, and
that takes a lot.
Also, like the way that I write, I don't know any of my songs. Like I write the song, I record the guitar track, and then I totally forget how to play it, and I just layer everything else on top of that. So I only really know the guitar part for like a couple days. So in order for me to play, I'm gonna have to relearn everything I wrote, which shouldn't be too hard because I don't know that many chords. So there's not that many chords that are in these songs, but it's still just it's just hard.
Gorillaz Infinity wants to know if your new album is available on vinyl because he'd snatch it up in a heartbeat, and so would I.
It will be. It will be.
That's amazing!
Yeah, I'm gonna put it out on album and on vinyl and CD, but I just don't have time to, like, I have to do all of the formatting and everything.
Sure. Well, we will patiently await that
day. I'm gonna do it over Christmas break. It'll be ready over the holidays.
Love it.
I'm excited. I'm going to make you sign it. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to make you sign
it. I'm going to give it to you, duh. I don't want you to buy it. It's for you. I'm just glad you would even want it.
Oh, my gosh. I've started a new collection. I've started getting vinyls of video game soundtracks that my friends are in. Because I have the Life is Strange one that we all signed. And then I found one that of What Remains of Edith Finch, which my friend Valerie's in. So I bought that and want to get her to sign it.
Cool.
So I'm just like, collect. And that like fits in. It's not a video game soundtrack, but it's still like, you made the album. So it fits into the collection.
Thank you so much for wanting it.
Of course. Cool. I love, it's the perfect album for a record. What's the most memorable moment from recording lines for Life is Strange? Is there like a single line or moment that really sticks out?
For me, well, the part that always will stay with me the most is two parts. One, three parts. One is with Kate, like the lines on the roof. Mm,
yeah. Well, and we got to record that together too, so that was definitely memorable.
That was amazing. And then doing the scene with Ashley at the very end of the series, or at season, very end of the season when we're saying goodbye. It felt so like heartbreaking. It just killed me. I was just like, wow, this is it. It's over, and we worked together, and now it's over. And
sure, because that was like the end of it all for you, the actor as well.
Yeah, it was sad. It was also like really special and memorable.
I thought it was weird. It was really cool recording with you, but it was also really strange because we were side by side. So, right? Like, we weren't facing each other.
We
were like, we were acting together, but like, we weren't actually looking at each other. So it was an interesting experience. Okay. Ooh, this is a lovely one. Ahmed would like to know what pets you have in their names.
Oh.
Hannah's like a mini zookeeper, so I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I could tell you all about that. I have three cats. I have one cat who's solid black named Quentin, and a black and white cat named Daisy, and then a beige gray tabby named Iris. And I have a fish tank with eight different fish and one blue lobster.
You have a lobster?
I have a blue lobster.
Where did you get a blue lobster?
This boy bought it for me. He took me on a date to the Reptile Super Show. It was so cool.
That's so cool.
But then he didn't want to see me again.
Well, you got a lobster out of it.
I did get a lobster out of it. And I love that lobster. There He's you so go. Cool. And then I have a bearded dragon who's hibernating right now, and his name is Eugene.
Love the names of all your animals. They're so perfect.
And then I have a gecko named Mr. Gecko, but he's very old. I inherited him. Well, I adopted him because he needed a home.
Mm.
And when I got him, he was very old. So okay. He's probably like 13, 14 years old.
Oh, wow. But, getting up there, Mr. Gecko.
Yes, he is. So I have him, and that's all I have here in LA.
That's all. That's it.
If I had more space, I would get more. And in my future, I would really like to have a big space to have like an animal sanctuary. I love that.
Like, mm-hmm. Future goals. Anton asks if you're ever going to voice over in games again. And that just all depends on your path back to acting.
I would love to. I don't really have time to audition and do that hustle. I don't know. I don't know about what it would be like to do it now that I'm on this new medicine. It might be different. I did go on one audition this summer. I didn't get it. I thought, oh, wow, what if this is it? I'm going to get another role, and I'm going to drop out of school and go back to voice acting. And then I didn't get it, and I was, like, kind of relieved because I just kind of need stability in my life at this point.
Yeah.
Or someone, like, said, hey, I have something you're really right for. Will you audition?
That makes sense.
Or in the summer.
When you got more time. It's all about time right now. Jay Grotto wants to know, well, it says, how cool would it be if Max came back for Life is Strange 3?
Oh.
Obviously, that'd be super cool.
It'd be cool if everybody came back. I think the whole thing should
bring
come
him
back.
I know. Everyone's thing is like, but if people killed Kate. Some people killed Kate, so she can't come back. So it's like, well.
Yeah, but some people didn't.
I know. It could be that question at the beginning of the game. Like, did you save Kate or not? Just like the beginning of Life is Strange 2, it asks, did you save Arcadia Bay or not? Is there anyone you look up to or draw inspiration from?
Yes, acting-wise, I've always really loved Kate Winslet and Claire Danes, Michelle Williams, Thora Birch are like my favorite ladies.
Good ladies, good ladies.
I also think Kate Hudson is really amazing.
I mean, that's a good, that's a healthy, healthy chunk of people.
It's a good look.
I like this one. Jake asks, if there's any character's wardrobe from Life is Strange that caught your eye, whose would you pick? Who would you dress most like?
I would say I probably dress most like Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, she's got, I would probably say the same. She's got comfy clothes.
Yeah.
Jeans, flannel.
Yeah, like a mix between Max and Rachel.
Good pick. Good pick. Did you ever play, I know you watched, you were with me when I played Life is Strange. Did you ever play yourself?
I just,
besides when we did, I guess we played with Square Enix.
I only played with Square Enix and then with you. I never played by myself. I think it's really cool that you're able to do that.
Thank you. I've taken some practice and I still don't get it right all the time. Hannah was there when I played through the final episode. She was with me. It's up on my YouTube. Did choose to save the bay. There was a whole lengthy debate. We talked a long time about it, but we chose to save the bay. Felt like it was the morally proper decision.
But now I might not save the bay.
Heard it here, folks. You heard it here.
Oh, it's just hard.
A Herrix asks if you have any acting techniques or stuff that motivates you when you're getting ready to act.
I would say music for me, just listening to songs that are similar in the same vibe and tone that is happening in whatever you're trying to portray. That's always really helpful. Listening to music that your character would listen to.
Mm.
Singing, just good to get your, for me, it's just hard for me to get my voice to come out when it's time for it to come out.
Sure, warm up your vocal cords.
Yeah, that's always really helpful. And then I also think exercising. I don't really exercise very much anymore, but when I acted, I did all the time.
Yeah, I don't exercise as much as I should either, much to the chagrin of myself. Who knows, it would be helpful.
It's just like such a psychological game. Like it you is. Have to have your game face on. And you need that. You need to be working out and like, I don't know. That's what I would never, I didn't have the consistency at it.
I get that. So I'm going to leave that as the last question, everyone. Thank you all for listening to this interview portion. Hannah, can you give everyone where they can find you online and such like that?
You can find me on Instagram at Hannah Tell, HANNAHTELLE. Same thing everywhere. And you can hear my music on Spotify and iTunes and Bandcamp.
Awesome. So follow her on all of the things. I am Dayabraham Lincoln, a.k.a. Dayan Hutton. You can find me on Twitter as Dayan Hutton, and then Twitch and Instagram at Dayabraham_Lincoln. I will talk to you next time with another very special guest.